The author of the first reading of the Scriptures today, the Acts of the Apostles, and the author of the Gospel according to Luke, is the same person. The Gospel passage comes from the final verses of Luke's Gospel, and the first reading comes from the opening verses of the Acts of the Apostles. And so the story of the Ascension becomes the linchpin. It is what ties together the story of the Gospel of Jesus Christ and the story of Christ present in His Church. And in both of those stories, there is a message, a lesson for the early church. First of all, a lesson for Jesus' disciples, and lastly, a lesson for us. And the lesson comes in three parts. Both in the Acts of the Apostles and in St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells His disciples, "Stay here. Wait. Be attentive. Linger. Be quiet. Don't act. Be receptive." He says to them, "Do not act on your first impulse. Do not be quick to move. Because your first impulse is probably not what's being asked of you. And your immediate response is probably not what's going to do the job. Be quiet and wait." And what do they wait for? He says to them, "I will send you the promise of the Father. So stay in the city until you are clothed with power." That promise of the Father is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit brings wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, courage, right judgment, awe in the presence of God. That Spirit brings what is necessary for that community to act. And out of those gifts, then that community will make choices. That community will set forth its program, its goal. It will act. It will act by the power of the Spirit. Jesus says, "This is not a power that is within you. It is a power that will come upon you." And lastly, Jesus says that the litmus test of what they do and who they are is to be that they are to be witnesses. Witnesses of His death and resurrection, and witnesses of the reconciling work of God among all peoples. That's to be the test, because that's ultimately their charge, their mission. So those three principles, if you will, or those three pieces of the process are laid out for them. And I would suggest that those three pieces of the process are not only appropriate to those disciples, and not only appropriate to that early church, but are appropriate to you and to me, whether it is in our church community, in our families, in our workplace, as we prepare and as we move to act. You know, the first thing that happens very often when a challenge is placed before an individual or a group is that that individual or that group reacts. I don't know how many times you've been in groups where there is a problem solving or a decision to be made, and almost at the drop of the hat, people's mouths open and they start talking. Their words pour out before their brain is engaged. And it's the first thing that comes to one's head. In the early 1900s, Henry Ford said, "If you ask the people of this country what they needed most in order to achieve better transportation, invariably the answer was a faster horse." It's only once there's time, there's space, it's only once that there's recollection that it's possible for the light to shine, for the lamp to go on. Over the past 3 or 4 years, we've sought here at St. Matthew's to restructure the ways in which decisions are made, especially decisions around important issues. And that work has largely been done by the Church Council, but my hope is that that work can also infiltrate the way groups within the congregation make decisions. When a challenge is placed before the council, the first thing those council members, those 10 members, are asked to do is to keep their mouth shut and to allow for some time to mull over what they hear, to put aside their agenda, to put aside the quick fix, to put aside the immediate response, to put aside what seems obvious, and to allow some space. To allow some space for intuition and insight. To allow some space for wisdom and understanding. To allow some space for courage and right judgment. And then to begin talking. Then to begin sharing the ideas or the insight. And those ideas and those insights are not going to be the same. They're going to be one very different from another. And that's wonderful, because gifts are not given in the same measure to each person. And when there are differences, there is a much better chance that there is a spark that emerges. A spark that leads to the answer, to the truth. And very often it's that spark that is different from business as usual. It's that spark that illumines something new. It's that spark that illumines something for this moment. And then as the resolution occurs, how do you measure the validity of the resolution? What is the litmus test? What is the standard? The standard is the mission. That's what Jesus told those disciples. The standard is to be their witnessing to the mystery of Christ and the reconciliation of all people. So that when the decision is arrived at, the question is, does the decision advance the mission? Does the work advance the mission? By this activity, by this direction, is there a further witness to the presence and to the love of God and to the reconciliation and peace of Christ in the community in which we live? Well, the Scriptures are very practical. The Scriptures seek to be a manual of discipleship. Now, this process that is outlined in both Luke and Acts, it's not the most efficient process. It's not the most time-saving process. It doesn't issue an immediate decision. It demands patience. It demands a willingness to be quiet, to reflect, to step back, and then to come at it again. But it is the process that respects the presence of the Spirit. It is the process that is built upon a faith that the Spirit of God is present and active in a community of faith. Now, all of that finds its ultimate expression or its energy here at the table of the Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist. The night before Jesus died, he gathered his disciples. He took bread, he broke it, he said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then he took the cup, and he said to them, "Take this, drink it. This is the cup of my blood, which is poured out for you." The bread that is given is broken. The cup that is given is poured out. The image of the cross stands in the midst of that Last Supper. Jesus says, in effect, "The reconciliation I bring is to be won through my death and my resurrection." And you and I in the Eucharist are drawn into that very mystery. That very mystery by which the reconciliation of God in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is accomplished. You know, we are used to talking about that union with Christ, that communion. We're talking about it as often as we come forward and we receive the Lord. The risen Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We come forward and we receive the Lord. And that's true. Except I'd like you to think about it in a little bit different way. As we come forward, He receives us. That in our eating and drinking, He takes us into Himself. That He is the actor. He is the one who incorporates us. That in our eating and drinking, we become one with Him. We are drawn into Him. And so we become one body and one spirit in Christ. so that when we come to live out our lives, we can live them out as lives of faith, absolutely convinced, absolutely committed to the reality of the presence of the Spirit of God among us. All of this began for us as witnesses in the waters of baptism. For it was in those waters of baptism that there was a unique claim exercised by God. Again, God is the actor. And in those waters of baptism, you and I are drawn into that very life of God. We are, so to speak, grasped by the very life of God. And we carry that out. We live that out in the dailiness of our lives, in our homes, in our classrooms, in our workplace, on our city streets, in our job, within our families. That's where we live that out. And that's where we witness to the reality. The reality of the salvation of God in Jesus Christ and the reconciliation of all the world in the mystery of Christ. And that happens bit by bit. That doesn't happen all at once. That appreciation and that living doesn't happen all at once. There are young people here this morning who will take their first step in receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist. Or, as I said better, the Lord receiving you and drawing you into a deeper, stronger, richer closeness to Him. And that occurs again and again and again every time you come forward and every time you eat the body of the Lord and drink from the cup of the blood of the Lord. Every time you do that, the Lord receives you more deeply in His life. And that's why the Eucharist is important. It's important to you as a beginning today. It's important to the adults present as an ongoing journey of life and faith. But all of that began in the waters of baptism. So, I would invite you to join with me as, with these young people, we renew the promises of our baptism, we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, for this is the faith with which we live our lives. Please stand. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth? You believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, was raised to life on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God. You believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
We have put on Christ in Him we have been baptized. Alleluia. Thank you.